Saturday again.
It is. We have in our hands a little bit of thiefed. Thief being the device we use to take stuff out of the fermenter. Thiefed bit of the ale that we did 2 weeks ago. Haven't tried it yet. Smells hoppy.
Yeah, so it's still... This is the fermenter that is done. The other one's still fermenting. Smells hoppy. Smells a little... Maybe a touch of acetaldehyde or something. A little apple-y or plasticky.
Doesn't taste bad.
No. It's gets pretty bitter after the second sip.
But it doesn't taste vegetably.
No, not so much. And it does have some of that harvest type character, right? Mm-hmm. With a scratchy lupulin type feel.
And at the end, I'm actually getting a little bit of that chocolate, I think.
Just yeah, the color is decent for just using chocolate malt, that's for sure. It's almost a... We didn't have very much. It's going to be hard to really discern the color, but it looks like it's probably going to be closer to an amber or a brown than, mm-hmm. than a, you know, a pale ale type color.
Right. I would say that's successful.
We'll see once it's carbonated.
Yeah. But yeah, that tastes pretty okay. Mm. Anyway, sorry to bore you guys with that. Let's talk about stuff. I tried to ask this of you. I tried to send it to you via text, but you didn't answer.
Okay.
Remember all the stuff about information that we talked about before. Mm-hmm. How if something is full of information, then it's completely it's random essentially, because that means that it can't be compressed. We've talked about how a static, you know, a video full of information is just static essentially, because that means no pixel is related to any other pixel.
Okay.
Right. So it got me thinking about, okay, so if a string of random numbers is something that is full of information, then there is something close to that that we use all the time. Pi or e, these irrational and transcendent numbers, they can't be predicted. They seem to be they're infinite. They can't be compressed because they're essentially they're random. I mean, it can mm-hmm. be used as a string of random numbers. Is perhaps the reason why we find them so useful because they are full of information?
It's a good question. I mean, your intro here, you kind of left out an important part that they even mentioned in the talk, right? Where there's a balance between ordered information and there's a balance where we find value. Like, complete random is one way of saying it is full of information, but it's not discernible in any way, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a value in having some order to that so we can discern the information. So, you know, just the way you phrase the lead-in, it makes it sound like most information and most useful information are two completely different things.
Yes.
Right? So just make sure that is clarified up front.
Okay.
It's an interesting thought that you have, right, where pi and this whole theory of random containing the most information... I mean,
pi is... It comes up everywhere, and the reason it comes up everywhere is because in all these times that we're talking about, in whatever sciences, we're usually talking about space. And space, when we think about space, we generally, when we're making our equations, we generally, to simplify things, make it into a spherical. So that's why pi mm-hmm. always pops up, because we're talking about space in some sort of spherical way.
And pi is the ratio of a circumference of a circle to the diameter.
Yes.
It's an interesting thought. I don't know if I have any other opinion on it, right? I mean, because when you're talking about pi, you don't need millions of decimal places.
No, I mean, the interesting thing about pi is I think it's something like 9 or 10 digits is enough to be within, is enough to essentially solve any problem within the observable universe.
Mm-hmm.
something like that. So, I mean, going beyond those digits is useless, right, for all practical purposes. But is what, you know, what just came into me was, what if it's that is so full of information that it becomes useful when associating it with other things?
Yes and no. Okay, so the other part that you need to kind of contrast from each other is they were talking about true random,
yeah,
which is unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Pi isn't... It can be calculated, right? So it's not random, like quantum effect type stuff, right?
Right, but we can't calculate... We can't know from the digits we've found what the digits are coming next, except for by doing
right,
the calculation.
But you know the algorithm.
Yeah.
So that... It's not a random number, right? It's
no,
a non-repeating...
But that's perhaps why it's useful, is because it is a random number that we know how to get to. So it's sort of like it crosses
I think you're overusing random, first off. It's not a random number.
It's not a random number.
It's a... non-repeating,
but it's a number that
what's the proper term for
it's irrational and it's transcendent.
Okay. Yeah, I mean it's a if you do the calculations, you'll never end up at the end,
right?
And there's no repeating pattern, like .66666, like when you get two-thirds type thing,
right? Now, I mean, the thing is, most numbers are irrational. You take a, you know, numbers between 1 and 2, there's an infinite amount of numbers in there, right? But most of those numbers are going to be irrational. So it's not just that it's an irrational number. It's that it's an irrational number that we have an irrational number that we have a way of calculating, and because of that, it becomes so incredibly useful.
I searched for what is pi. Google comes back with, pi is the 16th letter of the Greek alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is the numerical value of pi. So pi is the numerical value of pi. That's what Google said.
That would be a... that would be a tautology, yes.
I was just looking to see real quick here if I could... see how someone else describes that type of number, right?
This Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Just, I don't want to spend all day reading through the intro here.
Well.
Okay, so I guess just irrational is what I was... probably sums up what I was, two parts I was thinking of.
Anyway.
Now, they do say the digits appear to be randomly distributed, right?
That's a different question, because that is...
But that's different than a random number.
That's different than a random number, and that they're saying that it appears to be that there are... or that may be another question. There appears to be just as many ones as threes, as sevens, as nines, as zeros in pi. We don't know.
No. You're talking about infinities.
They're you can
almost
prove,
all
you
four.
Can, no, you can prove infinite stuff,
right?
But they haven't been able to prove it yet.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't prove infinities, then math wouldn't have gotten very far.
For sure.
Okay. Sharp Edge tweeted about the oldest drinkable beer. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see your tweet.
Huh? Yeah, and I they said something about how it was from the 19th century. It was
Finnish or something?
Something like that, yeah. And they said it was, I don't know, acidic and burnt and, you know, whatever. And they asked, would you drink it? And I said, absolutely. Because hell yeah. I'm in the quote-unquote business of trying beer. I want to taste with that. Especially, you know, if scientists say it's drinkable, you know, it's not going to kill me, then yes. I want to see what that is. So, what would you say?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay more than $30 for it.
But... Oh, I wouldn't.
But yeah, absolutely.
They're just asking me whether I would drink it or not, whether right. not whether I would pay for it. I don't know if I would pay for the experience. Okay. You went to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did last weekend with Max.
Max is 4, right? He's still a little, probably a little young for the movie, but at the same time, he's the stuff that's bad is going to fly right by him.
Yeah, I mean, there's two heavy parts, right? And it wasn't, I was more worried about rude behavior, right? Because that's the stuff that Max would pick up for. But really, the parts that I found most uncomfortable were when his mom died.
The opening, right?
And when the bad guy smashed in the head, you know, they cut away right before, but then they showed the blood rolling down at the right near the beginning, too. I don't know, the main bad characters. The
Ronin, right?
That yeah, guy. Yeah. He put a guy in like a sacrificial chair and smash his head with a big sledgehammer. They cut away right before the hammer hit the head. That was the other part that was kind of heavy, right? But they didn't show, it wasn't too graphic, but you still knew exactly what was going on because they cut away at the last instant.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And, then you got to see all the blood collecting and the sacrificial
thing. Oh, right. Right. Okay. I mean, I want to go see it again. I didn't see it in 3D, so it might be
cool. I just saw it in 2D.
I heard that it was well done in 3D, so.
I mean, there's that one space scene you could tell was just there for the 3D, right? Where stuff's kind of would have been flying by. Yeah, I just took Max to see it in 2D. The 3Ds up here were in the evenings, and we went to the 1:30 matinee. And
so, what do you think of the movie?
That was very, very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not much of a comic book movie guy, right? I mean, there's been some that I've watched that are enjoyable, but generally, like, the Avengers could have been good, but they went a little overboard with the Tesseract, you know?
I liked the Avengers. I thought the Avengers
was good, but, you know, that was one of the better ones, but, you know, compared to even some of the Batmans. I mean, I like Dark Knight.
Yeah, everyone likes the Dark Knight. But I don't, Batman Begins was pretty good. I did not like the third one.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought was there's so long, such long periods of boring.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the Guardians of the Galaxy was good from, I mean, just really good movie, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of what we had talked about, right? Where they put the humor in. It was a bit of Kick-Ass in with your superheroes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, having, first of all, I thought it was extremely well directed. James Gunn did a great job. I mean, the one shot that he's popping in my mind is when they are entering the prison, and you know, and the as they're entering, the camera sort of pans up, and you see this tower, and it's just it was a great way of sort of visually showing the space and also showing the sort of oppression that sort of space would have. So, but there was always it's always great visual stuff like that. Great angles, great ways of expressing.
I love how they, I love the origin, how they brought them together. It seems to be different from the book Max has, right? Mm-hmm. And the origin's a lot better than probably what the official storyline was. So I like the origin quite a bit. And Max got a lot of the humor, a lot of the comedy. I mean, like at the beginning, right? They all first come together and Rocket Raccoon's trying to catch Star-Lord and Gamora's there, and you know Star-Lord's in the sack hopping. Uh-huh. You know, Max really enjoyed a lot of that stuff, and Yeah, no, he really followed along.
Yeah.
That towards the end, he was starting to like look at people behind him and stuff in the seats, and I just put him up on my lap, and he made it through the movie. But
I like, I love the way they use music in the movie. I think I told you this, you know, before, but the way that they had that as an anchor to sort of bring the because it takes place in this, you know, ridiculous, weird, galaxy, weird, so, you know, so all these places are things that don't exist, but the music brings back a sort of anchor, so it brings people in, keeps them anchored to the scene in some level, and it was just perfectly done, I thought. You know, it the movie got a little, you know, it peaked a little early, most of these movies do.
Yeah.
You know, the ending wasn't quite as great as the first half or three quarters of it. But, you know, it hit all the right points, and it kept its humor pretty much throughout the movie. And, yeah, it was, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I can't wait till it's out on video so I can watch it again, that's for sure. Pretty good.
Great performance by Bradley Cooper, too. You know, you couldn't tell that was Bradley Cooper. Mm-hmm. It was,
yeah. There's, you know, I just watched American Hustle, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was one scene where the way Rocket Raccoon moved, it made me think of Bradley Cooper from American Hustle. Just one scene made me, like, same kind of mannerism. But other than that, yeah.
Pretty yeah, neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked... Another scene that pops in my head is the one where Yondo, who is played by Michael Rooker, he uses his arrow and, you know, kills all those people at once, and then you see sort of the scene from a far view, and everyone just sort of drops.
Right. Kill him so fast they didn't have time to fall. Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't just they did that; it was also just the way that was shot, and then you have the scene of just the. Afterwards, boom. They're just like, yep. That's a guy you don't want to mess with.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just smiling. I'm just kind of basking in the afterglow. I really thought the movie was fun and good. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Hopefully the sequel can measure up, I guess. Yeah.
Did you wait till the very end?
I saw the part with Groot dancing in the pot. We didn't stay till after the lights had come on. I wasn't sure if there's anything after the rest of the credits.
There is a very brief scene after the credits.
Okay.
Everyone should probably know it by now, so I'll spoil it for you.
Okay.
It's a scene that the collector is just, he's in his ruined lab and he's just drinking, and the dog comes up and starts licking him, and you hear someone say, "Why do you let him lick you?" And then it pans over, and it's Howard the Duck.
Oh, man. I was thinking about staying around, but they had turned the lights on and everything. And I'm like, oh, maybe there isn't a scene after the credits. Oh, well. Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Let's talk about... I was asked a question about, I think it was Nate who asked, talking about palate drift and jelly donuts.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You've brought up jelly donuts in a little while. Is that something?" And I was like, "I haven't had a jelly donut in, I can't remember the last time, but it has been at least months."
Mm-hmm.
I was actually thinking about picking up some on the way here. So I could be like, let's remember what this is like. But no. So
circles
Nate,
of regret.
No, I have not had jelly donut in a long time. A question that was on one of the forums I go to, they were asking about time travel, right? Can't happen. But someone was saying, well, they brought up the idea that if you are 65 million light years away from Earth and you point a telescope, you could see dinosaurs. And I said, unfortunately, that can't happen. And it has to do with the fundamentals of how light works. It's a diffraction limit problem. The ability for you to resolve objects there's a formula by a guy named Airy. It's called an Airy disk. And so it has to do with the aperture and the wavelength of light. And the aperture would have to be fucking ginormous. It would have to be larger than the Virgo supercluster. Something. It would have to be incredibly large to even resolve Earth as a point from that far away, let alone resolve something that's tens of meters across at best.
Interesting. I never thought about it that way.
I also said, well, you know, you could, in theory, use some sort of interferometry technique, but then in order to interpolate that data, you'd probably need more calculating power than the universe is capable of giving you. There is a limit.
Right. I mean, you are collecting a photon that has bounced off a dinosaur.
Yes, but resolving that into an image is the thing that's impossible. You can get a photon that has bounced off of a dinosaur. Bounced is being a relative term, right? has been emitted from a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not emitting photons himself.
No, he is, actually.
It's reflected light.
Bounce. Yeah, but from the standpoint of what light actually does, it doesn't reflect. It gets absorbed and re-emitted.
Okay. I guess I've never really looked into it, but yeah, I guess you're right. I'll let you have that one.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, I guess it's time to talk about it, Ferguson.
Was there any big fights last night?
No, there was not any big fights about it, but I am absolutely appalled by what I've seen, the performance of essentially of almost every single police officer in St. Louis. It has been unbelievably appalling. It makes me really, really angry.
I mean, the stuff you see, it definitely gives you that you can't believe it's happening in the United States in 2014 type stuff, right? You're seeing things from other countries, you're seeing stuff from the 60s type stuff. It does seem crazy. I was trying to spend a few minutes the other day thinking of it from the, not the police officer's point of view per se, but the public safety point of view or something like that, right? I'm not saying that I, you know, ended up siding with what things have gone down, but I was trying to think it through from that angle, right?
Well, here's what gets me. Did you see the video of the crazy guy who was shot in St. Louis? No. So it was clearly nuts, and he was wielding like a kitchen knife, but he wasn't menacing, but he was like running around with it, and cops came up and told him to drop the knife. He was 20 feet at least away. Drop the knife. He didn't drop the knife. And he was yelling at the cops, shoot me. And then the cops, bam, 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 six shots. Dead. Now, I'm sorry, but that is absolutely appalling to me. That being crazy and holding a knife does not give you the right to be summary executed on the spot. The chief of police, his excuse was that the officers felt they were in danger, and the number one priority is the safety of the officers. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a terrible doctrine. I do not agree with that at all. The whole point of policing in a society, the entirety of the point, is that we set people aside to have extraordinary powers with the understanding that they will use those powers judiciously. if to protect and serve does not mean your own ass. It means that you are giving up something. You're giving up your personal safety to be able to police society.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I can't stress that enough. Yes, I understand. Cops, it's a dangerous life. I have the utmost respect for police officers who take their job seriously. But I do not have respect for an officer who says, my safety is the number one thing. No, you don't get to make that choice once you become a cop.
I can't disagree with that. I think that's a very valid place to stand on, right? You're there, like you said, protect and serve the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
that means that, yeah, you will be put into dangerous situations. You get extraordinary powers because of that. But you do not get to use them without extreme oversight. You do not get to use them to execute people. They said cops are taught now to aim for the chest instead of the legs because the chest is easier to hit because it's a larger target. Well, I'm sorry, but if you're a police officer, it should be expected of you that you can hit smaller targets. If you can't, if you're unwilling to put yourself possibly up for injury, or you're unwilling to try to do non-lethal actions, then you do not deserve to be a police officer.
I agree with everything you said up into the whole trying to shoot someone in the knees part, right? I mean, we've had this whole conversation before about how it's not the movies, right?
Yes.
You can't do these disabling trick shots, right?
I mean, no, I'm not. If you're going to empty six rounds at somebody's torso, you're going to kill them.
Six rounds, sure. I'm not talking about shooting him six times. I'm saying I'm not saying you should shoot everyone. I'm saying when you're shooting at a person, you can't argue with them shooting at the chest.
I can't argue with them shooting at the chest.
No, you can argue with them making the decision whether to shoot or not.
I can argue, lethal force should be an absolute last resort. Absolute. And that means that you try to aim for other parts of the body, if you can, to bring them down. If you have to, if you absolutely have to, then you aim for the chest. But that should not be doctrine, that the first place you aim for is the chest.
I can't go with that far. I'm all with you on not deciding to use lethal force or whatnot. But you start trying to shoot at the legs, smaller target. What about whatever happens when you miss and the bullet hits someone behind them? You know, that kind of thing.
You shouldn't.
It's a busy, crazy fucking scene. You know, you need to. If you're deciding to use
lethal
force,
frankly, I don't think that cops should be carrying weapons in the first place. Okay.
Different conversation. Also, I'm only talking about one facet of this conversation, and I'm saying trying to insinuate that, you know, that the doctrine of when you decide to shoot, shooting at the chest is a bad thing. That's the only thing I have an argument with.
Okay. I mean, we don't see eye to eye on that particular thing. Fine. I understand that, yeah, it's a harder target to hit. Yes, I agree. I disagree that means they should aim for the chest. The idea that officers should be firing their weapons at any routine is absurd to me. I mean, it should be something.
I just can't get behind the argument you're using. Where, okay, so instead of using your gun, use your taser. This whole don't shoot at the chest thing with your gun, there's so many other things that would be more effective than that.
Right.
Than changing that doctrine. Because when they're not training people to make the decision to use lethal force frivolously, right? And if they, you know, maybe that part
absolutely,
needs to
I think they are.
Okay, maybe they are then. I can't argue against that part either. What I'm saying is when the decision is made to use lethal force, when it is deemed necessary.
When the decision is made to use lethal force, yes, aim for the chest.
And then prior to that, don't use... all the cops have tasers, or they should have tasers. Use that.
I mean, there are reasons why tasers are not considered very effective. They're hit or miss sometimes. If somebody's wearing large amounts of clothing, they can be... And they also have been shown to be... sometimes they can kill people. I mean, bullets kill people a lot more often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand that cops don't want to get involved in a tussle with a guy with a knife, but I think that if you are a police officer, that's what you have to do. You have to put yourself on the line, and maybe, yeah, maybe you do get hurt. Maybe you do get cut. That's the price you pay for having the abilities that the law gives you. I don't see any other way around it except for this has to be, we absolutely have to nail this into the head of every police officer that either you are not here to fight your own, to do your own little war fantasy and point. Did you see the thing with the guy who was pointing his gun at everybody?
Mm-hmm.
And telling them, you know, I'll fucking kill you.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. That is a person who should at no point be a police officer. If you can't handle some harassment, I mean, you shouldn't be a police officer. I'm not saying physical harassment, I'm saying non-physical harassment, but if you can't handle it, you shouldn't be a police officer. Right. If you ever point your weapon at something that you aren't going to shoot, you shouldn't be a police officer. We should expect more out of those who are going to be police officers.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like I said, I have the utmost respect for police officers who do their job right.
Mm.
But it seems to be happening fewer and further between. And that's terrible. Rant over.
Okay. I did... what was it about? I heard an Obama quote... And he wasn't talking about Ferguson, because I don't think he said anything about Ferguson yet, has he?
I think he has, but...
Okay. I missed it. As of the other day, as far as I was sure. It was... Was it in Iraq, maybe? Were there any Americans... Oh, the ISIS thing, right? Where ISIS beheaded the journalist?
Yeah, right.
And the statement he used was... You know, we will protect Americans, you know, to no limit type thing, right? You know, no matter what it takes, we'll keep Americans safe. Have you looked at Missouri? Pretty sure those are all Americans.
Yeah, that's a huge problem I have with it is that, you know, this is in Missouri, it's not a war. These are citizens. These are you and they're just. They're putting in tanks and shit and tear gas against citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And automatic weapons and military hardware. It's unbelievable. The world's been really shitty lately. I mean, so yeah, so the Middle East is just black hole of desperate, destructive, disgusting horribleness.
Mm-hmm.
There's thousands of people dying from Ebola in Africa. There's this, you know, all this racial tension stuff going on throughout the entire country and showing up in Missouri. And then there's also this Russia thing, which is going on, where Russia is essentially asserting its regional power without any regard to the people under which it's asserting its power for. The thing that interests me about the Russian thing is everywhere else you see all these other things are where there's wars. It seems to be echoes of past things, right? I mean, like, the stuff going on in the Middle East is echoes of stuff from, you know, thousands of years ago. The stuff going on in Ferguson, that's, you know, echoes of stuff from the 50s. The Russian thing is a thoroughly modern war. It's about economics and regional power. It is a new type of warfare.
Is it? I mean, how is it so different from World War II type stuff?
Because it's not actually.
I mean, look at what Japan was doing. Look at what Russia did after the war, right? They grabbed a whole bunch of land to put under their domain for either.
But
it's Russia, either for market share or mind share, right? It was the economics and or trying to grow mind share in their political philosophy.
But Russia just took Crimea. They didn't take the entire Ukraine, and they just sort of...
Well, they're not done yet.
They're not done yet. It's true. But they didn't then roll their tanks through in the ways that, you know, you would have done in World War II or something like that, where you'd then... Well, maybe they did. I don't know.
I think it's very similar, right?
You're probably right.
Economic expansion, right? I mean, yeah. And gaining power. I mean, it's the same thing Japan and Germany was doing, and then Russia did afterwards.
The reason why I say that is I think that they're doing it, they're almost doing it, because they're losing money doing it.
They're doing it in a 21st century
they're
way.
They're doing it for the optics. They're doing it to show their power, not... because of the resources. They're doing it just to show that they can.
And I think it's a trickle, because if they had come in and invaded all of Ukraine, well, first of all, that's a lot of area, especially if they weren't willing, right? But, you know, the international opinion of that would be far, far worse, right? Where, oh, it's just Crimea. Mm-hmm. Crimea used to be Russia anyway. Sure, some people don't like it, but we're not going to go to war over it.
Right. Well,
the United States isn't going to go to war over Crimea.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what, you know, Russia and Putin's doing is, what can we get away with?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the part that is, to me, the most interesting. It's about what can we get away with? What can we do? What can we do to show that we're still powerful without actually getting into a tremendous amount of international trouble for it. I mean, they're in trouble for it. They have lots of sanctions and mm-hmm. stuff, but the world economies are so connected these days that those things don't work as well anymore.
I wouldn't want to be any of the former states that border Russia right now, except for maybe Kazakhstan. Who wants to go to Kazakhstan? Actually, they still have a spaceport there, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's where... Yeah,
that's where Russia's spaceport is.
I think so. I don't know. Wherever Star City is.
Yeah, it's in Kazakhstan, I'm almost sure. You want to be as far south as you can get, right? So.
Right.
Oh, I did have something I wanted to mention. What was it? It was, Oh, shoot. I'm like, as soon as he's done talking about Ferguson, I'm going to bring this up. No, it's gone. I should have wrote it down.
Okay. Oh, well,
whatever you got, I'll try to recall it.
What about Buffalo Wild Wings?
Okay. Why do they have electric outlets above the urinals? To freak out the autistic people? Because the outlets had the ground on the bottom, right? So it looks like a little face going, woo-hoo!
I mean, you know, like I said, something to aim for. But I don't... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe taking plug in your... I don't know. Plug in your...
Unless I'm thinking there, well, it was a Hollywood Video prior, but they had redone the bathroom. If they, like, maybe Hollywood Video had like a marquee type thing above the urinal, like,
oh yeah, okay, I can see that. So maybe they want to put little TVs or something there.
I'm thinking the most likely this was hindsight, you know, well after I had done the tweet, right? Uh-huh. But I'm thinking it was probably there for Hollywood Video. when they renovated the bathroom, they chose not to tile over the electrical receptacle. They could have, right? They retiled the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Probably chose not to tile over it.
Why would there have been a public bathroom in a Hollywood video?
Well, maybe there wasn't. I just assumed maybe there was. But that's what it was. Or Hollywood, I mean, it was a Blockbuster. But anyway.
Yeah, there was never a public restroom in one of those places.
Okay. Maybe not. Maybe you're right. So, it might be new. Maybe they just put there just in case.
Yeah.
Charge your phone for that 25 seconds you're taking a leak. But anyway, back to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised by your tweet there. I tweeted Damien, and I just, you know, included you, you know, because for the same circle mostly, right? Because Damien had told me about their ghost pepper wings.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had never been to a Buffalo Wild Wings, and it was on Thursday or something. It was Seneca Valley has, at least for the first couple grades, come to school, meet the teacher orientation type thing. You don't take your kids, it's just the parents. Well, they let us out pretty early, and my mom wasn't expecting us. my mom wasn't expecting us for another hour, a little over an hour. So, like, let's go get a beer and whatnot. And I'm still not going to Mad Mex after they told me not to come on Twitter. So figured give them a try. I'm like, hey, we can try those wings, you know. It took 45 minutes to get my wing order. Ordered 10 wings, took 45 minutes to get the wings.
Why do you think I dislike Buffalo Wild Wings? He said, went to Buffalo Wild Wings and they were fresh out of ghost pepper sauce. I responded with quoting you saying, went to Buffalo Wild Wings and saying, there's your first problem. Damien came back to me and said, you know, he asked me why I was shitting on them. And I said, well, because I've never found any situation where Buffalo Wild Wings is anything but aggressively mediocre.
I mean, the service took forever.
And to me, for someone like you, you say you've never gone to McDonald's or anything like that, but you'll go to a Buffalo Wild Wings? Seems like there's not too far a difference between the two.
I wanted to have some wings, have a beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one thing you did tweet.
And I didn't have time. Like, if I had more time, I probably was feeling going down the dive bar. You know, but I didn't have time to run out of Cranberry. So we just decided to go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. And fine, you know, you went, but like I said, there's your first
problem. Yeah, the time constraint was probably one of the main reasons I did it. But anyway, it took like a half an hour, and she came back, oh, we don't have the ghost pepper sauce. Okay, so I ordered the habanero mango. It was good. Good wings, good sauce. So that part wasn't mediocre. They had like almost 16 craft beers on.
Yeah, that was one of the things you tried to defend, and I was like, that's not special anymore. Having a bunch of craft beers on tap, it's not like Buffalo Wild Wings is the only place in the area that has a whole bunch of craft beers on tap. So that to me is not a defense of Buffalo Wild Wings anyway.
Okay. Well, I got no other defense for it. The wings are pretty good.
Damien said to me, "Stop shitting on a potential good time." Ghost pepper wings, bro. Ghost pepper. And did you see what my response was?
No.
That sounds like a potentially terrible time shitting.
Nice. I didn't see that one, I don't think.
Those coming out have got to hurt.
Well, I'm kind of happy they didn't have them because the habanero mango was 4 down on their normal scale.
Uh-huh.
4 down from the top. And while I could handle it, anything much hotter would have been difficult. So it was just about right for me, you know, anything hotter.
Yeah.
And it had a really good flavor. I enjoyed the flavor a lot. So, yeah, I don't have plans on going back anytime soon. Oh, I had, Heather had an Angry Orchard regular. Not nearly as good. The regular Angry Orchard is very apple juicy.
Mm.
Very soft cidery. Like, it has really, like, you know how I like to back sweeten it? This is like back sweetened to 200%. You know, it was almost like drinking.
You're banging on the.
It was almost like drinking apple cider, like from an orchard type thing, and not really the same thing that we had with that elderflower one.
No, the elderflower one was really good. It had different, you know. I looked for it at the bar. I told you about the milestone. Mm-hmm. First of all, remember you took an old you did a Google map and took a look
Street View. Yeah.
They removed like all their taps, so they don't have 22 craft beers on tap. They don't have a kitchen anymore. I guess they used to at some point, but they don't have a kitchen.
So they, instead of, you know, going up market, they've gone down market. The rediving of the milestone.
But I mean, they still do a good job. Like this is one of the boards they have where all the stuff they had for sale.
Come on, zoom. Okay. A lot of Duclaw featured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's plenty to drink there. But it's no drafts, huh? All bottles or reserve.
There's three or four drafts, but the only thing that was on draft that was potentially any good was Angry Orchard, I think. But it's all bottles. But the cheat, I mean,
$5 for Founders Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
Nice.
They don't freeze your glasses.
You can get some of these Duclos for less than $4 a bottle.
Yep.
Those are good prices.
Yeah, they are.
Huh. What do you know?
What's another thing that's great about it is it's right next door to a laundromat, so I have to do my clothes because I work out. I have to do my clothes every 2 days, basically. So I can just go there and, you know, have a drink or two while I do my clothes. This is the specials they had, the new ones they had.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, crappy old dive bar with great prices.
Have you tried the Sprecher Hard Ginger?
No, I haven't. Stop it.
Woohoo! I think everyone at home heard that. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, and come on, that's awesome. So, all these great beers, look at the prices.
Yeah. That's cool. Went to Caliente for lunch yesterday, and the prices aren't amazing, but the selection is amazing. You know, they had Mischief from the brewery on tap.
Mm.
I didn't get there. I didn't want to have such strong beers at lunch, so I didn't get to the brewery, but had Hop Knife from Trogues. It's our harvest. It's good. Had, they kicked Uinta's birthday suit. I tried to order that.
What did I have? I had their double black IPA brewed with hemp seeds.
Okay. Which one?
Uinta,
okay.
I had Smutty Nose Mud Season.
Okay.
Hoppy Brown Ale. It shocked me. It was 8%.
Oh, so I went to the cooler to see what they had, and I went to lunch with Brian. He was trying to figure out what to drink, and he loves stouts. Mm-hmm. They had Older Viscosity there.
Oh.
So I pulled it out. I'm like, here, Brian, you should get this, but let's see what it costs. And then I turned it up, and the price is on the cap. $23 for 500 mils.
Yikes.
He bought it. He loved it, but...
Yeah, they have, like, Dragon's Milk here. It was $13. And Monk's Triple was also $13. So, I mean, some things are still expensive, but most stuff, really, really great prices. So, you know, and the nice thing is then I can give good tips. I can give really good tips because my bill is $20 after 4 beers. I'll give you a $10 tip on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ice
Bucket Challenge. I don't understand the... Because the weird thing is, the challenge is to either get a bucket of ice dumped on it or donate money to ALS. But everybody does both.
Right.
So...
Well, not everybody, but... Yeah, it's getting more and more common to do both. I mean, I don't know what your opinion is. I think it's an interesting social media thing. I think it's great. A lot more people know what ALS is now than before, you know, where before they didn't know They knew it was Lou Gehrig's disease. Mm-hmm. And if you're really lucky, they knew it was Stephen Hawking had
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So I think it's good for ALS. Like they were talking about on the radio, like, what are they going to do?
Anterior lateral sclerosis, something like that.
Yeah. What are they going to do next year for their budget? I'm like, part of the answer was, well, they really don't need to pull in $35 million in a couple months next year.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they'll go back to their donors and whatnot, but also just it's just a marketing thing. You know, it's yeah. a good marketing thing, make people more aware of the disease. So
I mean, the problem is that these things, it can't. It's the problem of viral situations in the first place. It really can't be repeated. It's not something that you can do again. You can't do like, oh, next year ice bucket challenge again, this time for a different charity. It's not going to work. It worked because it was novel and because you got to see a whole bunch of famous people doing it.
It's also, I mean, technology, you know, is very interesting too, because everyone can post video,
mm-hmm.
right? And as of 2 years ago, not everyone had the smartphones. It wasn't as market saturated.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ones that did may or may not have been used to it to do the posting the videos and stuff. But, you know, now it's like, oh, yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of, I wonder if the Ice Bucket Challenge will spur more personal publishing type stuff. Like, hey, I did that. Maybe I can start a vlog or something. You know, I mean, I'm just wondering if it might, you know, get people to start creating more content or something. I don't know. Just,
maybe, but I mean, I think you're right in that it does show that the ease of not just making videos, but publishing them and making them available for people mm-hmm. to watch it becomes so streamlined now and so easy to do, so simple that pretty much anyone could do it.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, no one's challenged. I shouldn't say this out loud because no one's going to get the challenge. Actually, so that beer shower, right? The shower beer.
Oh, shower beer, yes.
So shower beer is, I think the guys down at Piper's, I tried to look prior to them to see if anyone was doing shower beer for ALS mm-hmm. prior to Drew at Piper's doing it.
Because shower beer is for ALS? I thought it was just...
No. They instead of doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, they started doing the shower beer for ALS challenge. So this is a... instead of challenging three people, you just challenge one person. And instead of doing the shower beer or the donation, you do both, right? So, yeah, Drew did it. He challenged Hart. Hart did it. He challenged Jagoff Brewer. Why can't I think? Andy. I couldn't think of Andy's first name for real name for a second there. And they didn't invent shower beer. Like the hashtag has quite
did
a bit.
Did you start
of,
a?
Yeah. Okay. No, I did not start the backup recorder.
Okay.
I did turn it on. so they're doing kind of a counter thing. Still for ALS, but yeah, shower beer challenge, right? You just drink a beer in the shower.
Okay.
I've never drank a beer in the shower. Have you ever drank a beer in the shower?
No. I don't like doing much in the shower besides clean myself and shave.
Mm-hmm. If you go on Twitter and check out the hashtag shower beer, a lot of people drink beer in the shower. Maybe just for Twitter. I don't know, but...
You know, hashtags.
Seems like people use it to break in their new houses or apartments.
You wanted to borrow my lab coat to do a CBR Labs jokey thing.
Oh, you
want to
get into this now, huh?
Well, yeah. Why not?
You want to get into this. Okay, all right.
So,
I saw a tweet... And it wasn't part of the shower beer challenge. It was just part of the shower beer hashtag. Mm-hmm. Where some dude said, I want to know the scientific reason that why beers in the shower always taste so good. And mm-hmm. I was in a mood where I thought it'd be really funny to do a 30 Rock Dr. Spitchemin type scientific analysis mm-hmm. of why shower beer is so good.
And I had no problem with that.
Then why were you so against it?
I had a problem with you calling it CBR Labs.
Okay.
I had a problem with you associating Craft Beer Radio with it.
Well, it's kind of gonna be associated if I do it.
No, no, you can do it on your own. I just don't want to have the craft beer radio name because I think the craft beer radio name means something or should mean something more when it's, you know, an official part of the show, because it's about us trying to do things with rigor and not joking around. And I said, you know, wait till April Fool's and that's fine, but...
Oh, so we got to stop doing the post-shows and pre-shows then?
No, the post-shows are not... They're not... I mean, they're related to CBR, but they're not... We okay. don't post them on the main feed, and we don't, you know...
And so something on the YouTube channel can't be a joke?
I had a problem with it being called CBR Labs because we've done serious things in the past on that, and I don't want that to be used for a silly thing that doesn't... That felt sort of off-brand, I guess. If you want to do it on your own, or you want to do, you know, if we could call it CBR Lab Joke Time or something, then maybe, but not, you know, it would be like if Mythbusters did an episode where they were then testing whether, you know, they did an episode where they were ghost hunting. That would be off-brand for them. That's just not what they do. It's
okay. I disagree. I think that we've done April Fool's shows under
Crafty Radio. Yes, we have. And like I said, I wouldn't have a problem with it being an April Fool's thing, but then we have to wait a while for it. We also removed those April Fool's shows from the feeds. I mean...
Well, sure.
Because they're not the show.
Right. This was just going to be something I was going to put up on YouTube. I mean,
I don't have a problem with you doing that.
Okay.
Do you still want my lab coat?
I don't know. We'll see. You can help me write jokes?
Sure.
All right.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what's the game?
Well, I don't want to spoil it all now. Not on the air.
Okay. Let's get the game. The writing should come.
I have a couple marks to hit, right?
Okay.
That's about all I have so far. And I started a couple, you know, I got a couple shots storyboarded, not much script, no jokes really written yet other than the marks, like the, oh, that'll be funny, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So that's all I got so far.
Okay.
Prefer not to spoil it on the pre-show.
Okay. Names. You mentioned that you forgot Jagoff Brewer's name. I read something recently about there's a reason why people are not good at remembering names. And one of the most important things was that names really are a very useless piece of information. Right? When you're going through an office and everyone's, you know, interviewing you, it says this is this person. Who, you know, what they do is important information. What their name is not important information at all. So your brain kind of just, all right, that's unimportant.
Right.
You remember what they do, but you don't remember what their names are. It's funny that, you know, we consider names such a personal thing, and yet it's such basically useless information.
Except for when you need to address the person.
Yeah, but you could address the person saying, hey, you. Or you could say...
Everyone turns around.
You in the shirt. Should I do that at a crowd sometime? Hey, you in the shirt. Uh-huh. Lots of people will turn around.
That'd be fun. Just go into a crowd and start yelling out names.
Hey, Steve! Steve! Yeah, because whenever I hear... someone say Greg, I always turn, you know, even don't recognize the name, I still, or the person,
right,
I still turn. It's instinct, essentially.
Next time I'm feeling giddy in the crowd, I'm gonna start yelling out names and see what kind of responses I get.
Okay. When we come back on the post show, I want to talk about hallucigenia.
About what?
Hallucigenia. It's a type of worm from the Cambrian period.
Okay.